It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's good to have you with us today. Oxygen is critical to life on Earth. You're breathing it right now, of course, but so are all of the plankton and algae and crabs and fish living in the world's oceans. A new analysis now by the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center shows that the ocean is losing that oxygen at an alarming rate and that the number and severity of suffocating ocean dead zones is increasing. Denise Breitberg is senior scientist at the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center.
What we found by pulling together people who work all over the world and on different topics is really the magnitude of the problem. Oxygen concentrations are declining both in the open ocean and along the coasts.
What causes that decline in oxygen?
There's different causes in different places, but the two major ones are in coastal waters. We have too much nutrients coming off the land from sewage and from agriculture. And then globally, especially in the open oceans, climate change and global warming is what's really causing the loss of oxygen.
What do these deoxygenated zones, these dead zones, look like to a marine biologist? If you were to go to one of these zones and put on your scuba gear, would you notice a difference?
You would definitely notice a difference. And maybe the easiest analogy is to think of a desert up on land. If these were happening where we could see them, we would really be appalled. Where oxygen is really low, marine life just can't thrive. Oxygen is fundamental to life in the oceans. And there are microbes and there are some organisms that are adapted to extremely low oxygen concentrations. But many of the animals that we think of, fish and sea urchins and crabs, really depend on having sufficient oxygen in their habitat in order to use those areas.
So every zone is different, but what happens here? The oxygen goes down, the smallest sea life, the plankton and the microorganisms, many of them can't survive, and then the whole food chain is thrown off?
Actually, it's a bit the opposite. Oxygen concentrations go down, and some of the microbes can thrive in very low oxygen areas, but it's the larger things, the animals that we think of in healthy marine ecosystems that just cannot use these areas.
What are some of the worst affected places? What do they look like?
It differs in coastal areas and in the open oceans. In coastal areas, we think of these large dead zones like in Chesapeake Bay, in the Gulf of Mexico, in the Baltic Sea, where fish avoid them, crabs and lobsters avoid them. And when oxygen concentrations drop fairly quickly, the sea bottom can be literally covered with dead animals. Out in the open ocean, there are actually natural low oxygen zones called oxygen minimum zones. And what we worry about in those cases is the expansion of those areas so that waters that used to be high in oxygen and good habitat for marine life now are transforming into oxygen minimum zones where really only microbes thrive.
And what you're describing in many places sounds, Denise, like kind of a 1-2 punch. Low oxygen plus rising sea temperatures, another problem due to global warming. What are the consequences of that?
Really, the combination of increasing temperatures and declining oxygen is really worrisome. As temperatures increase, the oxygen requirements of animals tend to increase. So that for a 10 degree increase in centigrade in temperature, oxygen requirements of animals will tend to double or even triple. But at the same time, as temperatures rise, the amount of oxygen available to animals declines. So we really worry about the combination of these stressors.
So let's talk about the potential for recovery, which is going to be different depending on where you go. But your research facility there, Denise Breitberger, is right on the shores of the Chesapeake Bay, just outside of Annapolis. The Chesapeake has recovered to an extent over the last 10 to 15 years. How has that happened? Can recovery be engineered? What does it look like?
Well, when the problem is nutrients, we really know what to do. We can improve sewage treatment plants so that nitrogen is not released into the water. We can improve agriculture so that there's less runoff of fertilizer. And a major effect has been, a major beneficial effect has actually been from the Clean Air Act, so that we have less nitrogen coming in from atmospheric deposition that was being caused by fossil fuel burning.
So those are the cases close to the coast with too many nutrients. I guess policy can affect that. What about other areas where maybe nutrients aren't the problem? What's the way into recovery there?
Well, clearly dealing with global warming is going to take a global effort. And again, we know in general what needs to be done. We need to dramatically decrease the emissions of greenhouse gases. But this is going to be incredibly important, not just for restoring oxygen in the oceans, but for all of the other problems that are being caused and will be worsening as a result of global warming.
Is there a chance that the severity of deoxygenization is even worse than we know because of all the places where we haven't even looked?
One of the really worrisome areas that we suspect has more problems than we know about would be in developing countries. We only know about low oxygen where measurements are actually being taken. And there are a number of areas around the world where we know coastal waters are receiving high levels of nutrients from raw sewage and from agriculture. And we suspect that there are problems there.
Denise Breitberg with the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center in Maryland. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.